Jim said I didn't have a preacher shirt on because I didn't have a pocket. I'll put it right here. All right. Well, it's good to see everybody here today. And I wanted to read this again in Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, and joy set before him, the author. Let's do this again. Since we're in that mode, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There was a fellow in 1992. His name was Derek Redman. And Derek was a runner. He was going to run the 400 meter in the Barcelona Olympics. And his job was to, of course, run the race. But everybody thought Derek was going to win the 400 meter. He was bound for a medal. And so we were pretty psyched here in the U.S. because he was ours in 1992. And when the gun went off, Derek started running. To run the race, right? We're talking about running races, so I'll just tie this in a little. So he's running a race, and he's running. Of course, he's pretty much in the lead, and all of a sudden his hamstring gives out. And everybody just starts passing him. So Derek goes down, and he's down there, and he goes to stand back up, and as he's running, he's dragging his leg behind him. And a man came out of the stands to help him. And of course the security wouldn't let him on the field, but then they let him on the field, and it turned out it was his father. And his father put his arm under him and said to him, Derek, you don't have to do this. And he said, yes I do, I have to finish this race. And he grabbed him and he held him and he walked him to the finish line and he let him cross the finish line. And Derek finished the race, and there were 60,000 people giving him a standing ovation. I think of that when I think of this great cloud of witnesses. This great cloud of witnesses, these 60,000 people cheering Derek on, you know, as he kind of hobbled to finish the race. And I think our race is like that at times. We're not all, running this race is not real smooth all the time. There's lots of things that happen. You know, I don't know that we all get hamstrings, but there's lots of stuff that slow us down. You know, the race is about faith in God. The race is about faith in Christ. And I think about here in our country, you know, where we're able to come together on Sunday and give glory to God, to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to celebrate what God has done for us, what Jesus has done for us. And then I think about Iraq, where right now we've all read the news that this group called ISIS, who doesn't like Christians, has decided that if they don't convert, they'll be killed. They've been cutting babies' heads off and putting them on, children's heads off and putting them in parks because they're Christian, raping the women, killing them, killing the men. And when they tell these people convert or die, they're choosing death. They're running the race. That's running the race. And we don't have that here. We don't have to do that. We don't have to choose that. But we choose that in what we choose. In the choices that we make in life. You know, am I choosing to be a Christian? Now these people in Iraq, I'm thinking, we are the great cloud of witnesses. We're watching this. And I got to tell you, I'm pretty impressed with the Christians that are willing to take death over converting. That's pretty amazing. And I think about the temptations that I give into. John was sharing a class this morning. I was glad to hear him say we all have things we can work on. So I'm glad John has things he needs to work on, because I got things I need to work on. And I'm guessing some of you out there might have things that you're still working on or trying to do better with. And that's running the race. That's getting in the race, you know. Paul gives us a great example. I love Paul's writings, and I know most of us do. But let me just share something here with you. And this is in 2 Corinthians 11. I don't know if you want to follow. But 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 27. Paul says, "Are you servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked far harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped more times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes." That's a lot of lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced dangers from the rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to believe, but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Paul's running a race. He tells us in Timothy, in his letter to Timothy, "I've run the race. I've run a good race." You know, it says, "Run the race with perseverance." That's some perseverance. That's a lot of perseverance. Imagine being whipped. Imagine being hit by a rod. I know there's another place in here. I think he was keel-hauled. You know, where you're dragged under a ship. You know, being stoned and still alive. He's been through a lot. But he never gave up. And that's our call, to never give up, to not give up. We read not long ago that an actor, a comedian, who seemed to have it all, committed suicide. And we were all shocked. You know, oh, why would he do that? We don't know why he did it. I wasn't in his head. I don't know what was going on in his life. I know that he suffered from depression. You know, I know that's a very serious thing. I do counseling. I know that's a very serious thing. And I know that there is help for it. And we need to seek that kind of help. Moses, God said to Moses, "I want you to go to Pharaoh." This is after, you know, they've been in captivity for hundreds of years. Pharaoh, he's beating them, you know. He's just not a good guy. And also Moses had, before he left, he'd killed a guard. So he was a wanted man. And God told him, "I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go." You ever think about that? Like, so Moses is thinking to himself, "Me? You want me to go? I'm wanted. And what makes you think Pharaoh's going to listen to me?" God asks us to do things in life, right? We have things that we're called to do. They're not so like, you know, I've never heard God's voice and say, "Ken, what I want you to do is write a book. Ken, what I want you to do is preach Sunday at the..." John said that. That's John's voice. And so, I haven't heard that, but he was talking to God. And so he was told he had this race to run. He had this job to do. And he needed to do it with perseverance. Moses said, I can't do it. You know, something I can't do. And God said, "I'll be with you." That's what he said, "I'll be with you. I'll help you." He said, "But I can't speak." So God said, Go and we'll have your brother Aaron speak. God had an answer for everything. He didn't do it alone, Moses. He had God with him. God is with him. We're not alone. We don't have to give up. There's another little story about a race that I know of. It was a Special Olympic race. And these kids are all developmentally delayed, and they're running around the track, and they're running and smiling and having a good time, and one of them falls down and hurt himself. And as the kids were running, they saw that the kid wasn't with them, so they all turned around and they went back and they got him, and they all kind of crossed the finish line together. And that's what we're called to do. Somebody, like you said, one another, right? It's about one another. That's what Christianity is about. If I did a Google search on one another, because it's hard to read the whole Bible and underline all the one another, but there's a lot of one another's. We are called to love one another. We're called to encourage one another. We're not called to run this race alone. We're called to run this race together. Most of you know that I go to AA meetings. I'm an alcoholic, haven't had a drink in 36 years now. But I remember the prayer they had. We had this little prayer in the book. It's not a prayer out of the Bible, but it's kind of a little cool prayer. And it says, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me from the bondage of self. That's really cool. Relieve me from the bondage of self. Take away my difficulties. That's pretty cool. Take away my difficulties. But you know what it says after that? So I may better do thy will. That I may better help people. That I may better show what you've done for me. And I think that is what we're doing when we encourage one another. We're showing what God has done for us. And I know I've shared that from up here, the things that God has done for me and given me. And I share that pretty much every day. I like to do that. I like to talk to people about God. I have people on Facebook that send me private messages, and I do little counseling on Facebook. I share things on Facebook. You know, I share things in real life too. You know, like, not that that's not real life, but talking to people one-on-one. I'll be sitting anywhere. Someone said one day, let's pray for Bert. Bert is not well. We need to pray for Bert. And it was in a cigar shop, of all places. And I said, all right, let's pray for Bert. And I started praying, you know? And they were like, wow, thank you. I didn't know anybody would really do that. But we're here to encourage and to help each other to move along. I was listening, you know, and there's so many temptations. There's so much out there that really could mess us up. I was listening. There was a little clip, and it was a famous preacher. And it was a TV guy and his wife, and they were talking. She got up and she said, we need to go to church, but we need to go to church for ourselves, not for God. Does that make you cringe? Millions of people listen to that. We don't go to church for God, we go for ourselves. We go to church to be happy. We want to be happy. So let's all sing, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. I thought you went to church for God. I thought we came here to assemble. First of all, we are the church. We don't go to church. And then we come here to worship God. We come here to remember what God not only did for us and what Jesus not only did for us, but what He's doing for us. From what I read, Jesus is preparing a place for me, and He's coming back, so He's still active. He's not, like, dead and, you know, finished. I remember your son Robbie was doing the communion one Sunday, and he said, you know, a lot of folks come up here and say that this Lord's Supper is a memorial, but memorials are for dead people. Jesus is alive. And he said that a few years ago. I'll never forget it. That really touched me. Because Jesus is not dead. He's alive. And He's active. And He's there. And God is alive. And He's active. And He's there. And He's here to help us. And we as a church, being the body of Christ, we're here to help others. We're here to bring people to Christ. We're here to share the good news. Jesus gave us a prayer. The apostles asked Jesus, so how do we pray? How do we get help? What should we say? And over in Matthew 6, verse 5, and when you pray, he says, this then, this is verse 9, this then is how you should pray. So this kind of almost answers what this woman preacher was saying. He says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We start out with God. We go to God. We don't go there just to be happy. We go there to honor God. Hallowed be your name. You're God. I know who you are. First, I want to establish who He is. He's the creator of everything. I'm not alone. I have the creator of everything listening to me. I love the Psalm 40 where it says, I was stuck in the mud, stuck in the mire. I had no way out, and I cried out to God, and God turned His ear to me. I love that. He turned His ear to me. He heard me. That's pretty amazing. I love that. So He's listening now. That's whose ear I have. That's who I'm asking for help. The Creator of everything. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to bring heaven right down here. We're asking God for some help. Then it says, give us today our daily bread. So before I ask for anything, I'm establishing who He is and letting Him know your will, not mine. You know, so when I'm having this casual prayer driving down the road and I decide I need a parking place, hey God, I could use a parking place. Could you help me out here? You know, I don't know how that's going to like glorify God. You know, if He wants to give me a parking space, I guess He will, you know. Or when I'm down on my luck, maybe I find a couple of dollars. I don't know if that's God or not. I'm not going to say it's not. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to put God in any boxes. But according to Jesus, I'm not supposed to be praying for my own little wants and desires. I'm asking for what I can do to give Him glory. So when He gives me something, I can show how that came from God. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. So we're asking God, I remember when that first struck me, forgive me as I forgive others. Whew, I'm in a heap of trouble, you know. I need to forgive others to free them. Sometimes I hear people say, well, it helps me. Well, it's not about helping me. It's about freeing them from a debt to let them have some peace and say, I do forgive you. Just like Jesus forgave us. Does He feel any, oh, I feel good because I forgave? No, that's what He does. That's what He does because that's what we do in love. We forgive. And that's what He's telling us to do. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There's a lot of temptation out there. I'm telling you. There's temptation out there. You know what? I want to go to church for me. I want to be happy. I want to come here and just, whatever that means, I don't know. Just for me. I'm coming for me. It's not about me. It's about God. If I'm happy when I'm here, that's cool. I'm sure God wants me to be happy. He loves joy. He talks about joy a lot. You know, He likes me to be happy. And I want to be happy, and He wants me to be happy. But I don't know that that's why He wants me to come to His Word. I believe He wants me to understand what it is that I have to do to run this race, to live this life as a Christian. What does it look like to live my life as a Christian? Do I look like a Christian? It said there's a cloud of witnesses. There's people watching. Are they heavenly clouds? Are they earthly clouds? Are they both? Who's watching? Who's watching me? Am I going to be somebody that is going to drive someone away from Christianity in what I'm doing? Am I going to be telling dirty jokes? Am I going to be telling off-color jokes with other guys and they go, I thought he was a minister. I thought he was a Christian. I wonder why he's doing that. I wonder why, you know, do I let other people rub off on me or do I rub off on others? You know, what do I look like? Because there's witnesses, there's people watching. am I bringing somebody closer to Christ when I'm doing that? If I do that, you know. And there's lots of other, gossip. Gossip's a good one. Sitting around talking about people, trying to make myself look better than them. You know, I've seen lots of people do it. Well, I've done it. You know, I hate it, but I've done it. I've been involved in it. I don't stop it. You know, I don't tell, you know, we really shouldn't do that. We need to, I gotta say, you know, we really shouldn't be talking about them. You know, they're doing the best they can. They're doing the best they can. As a counselor, and people come to talk to me a lot, and some people don't go to church, and they'll say, you know, there's a lot of hypocrites in church. I'm thinking, don't let that drive you out, you know? But that's their issue. There's a lot of hypocrites in church. And you know what I tell them? Yeah, there are. There's one in the mirror sometimes, you know? There's one in the mirror sometimes. Sometimes it's me. You know what? You might be a hypocrite sometime. But you know what? We're doing the best we can. We're all doing the very best that we can when we come and when we're working with this. We're trying to do the best we can. You know, and I know they're talking about, well, there's people out drinking and getting drunk on Saturday and showing up for church on Sunday. I'm glad they're there. I'm glad they're there. Maybe they'll hear something. Change their life. You know, maybe they'll hear the right thing. They'll hear the right words. You know, what are we doing? What are we doing with our life? Are we acting like parents of the Bible? Are we acting like children to our parents in the Bible? Are we being husbands, like it says? Wives? Is this the way we're living? It is. It's a long race. But we don't have to do it alone. I like the idea of having somebody that holds me accountable. Over in Melbourne for a while, we were trying to do a lot with accountability partners. We seemed to get away from that a little bit. That was kind of neat, you know, holding each other account. But we picked some, you know, it wasn't like just anybody could come up and say, hey, you, you know, like it was somebody I selected. And I used Pat Seaman, and I would talk to Pat, and he would tell me. Sometimes I didn't like what he said, but he was right. And I needed to change that. There were things that I thought that I was wrong. And I was supposed to be his accountability partner, but he does everything pretty right. But I didn't have a whole lot to tell him. But we talked. We have people that we can go to here in our church, in your church. We have elders, we have deacons, we have each other. We can help each other. You know, when we ask people to fill out cards, it's almost like, you know, it's part of the procedure. We say, okay, and in the right on the card we have, and you mean it when you say it. On the card we want your prayers. We want to know what we can help you with. We really do. We really want to help you. What's the problem? Tell us. Don't even write your name down. God knows who you are. You know, if you're struggling with something, tell us. Because we don't know if you don't tell us. We want to help you. You know, I know in Melbourne, at the end of the service, they, if there's anybody with a problem, come and sit up front and somebody will pray with you. You know, if I got a problem, I ain't coming up front. I don't want everybody to see me. He has a problem? I'd be embarrassed. But I do go to somebody. I do tell somebody. I don't go up front, though. I kind of take it off to the side. But they also give that option. And then the other option is that I'm there all week to do counseling. We also have an elder that's there all week. We also have a preacher that's there all week. You know, we have people that you can come to. And we also have people that you can call. We have a phone directory. Call. Talk. Tell us. Because if you're doing this alone, it's scary. You know, this is a scary race to run by myself. Because there's things that I hear in my head that aren't true. You're not going to be forgiven this time. You're going to hell for this one. If I keep that to myself, I'm in a bad place. I need to share it with somebody. I need to tell somebody how I'm feeling. I need to ask questions. I need to know what some of this means. Lead us not into temptation. Why would God lead me into temptation? I want to ask somebody that, you know. He won't, you know. But there's an evil one out there that will. And it's kind of an everyday thing that goes on. I hope this can pick up on the paper. So I thought that said I was here 9 minutes. I think it's longer than 9 minutes. But I want to close with that idea of, it's been a lot longer than 9 minutes? All right. Let me close with a prayer, and we'll have an invitation. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for giving us your word, for giving us your help, that we don't have to live life, that we don't have to run this race by ourselves, that we have you to help us, that we have your word that shows us exactly how to live life. Your word, this Bible, shows us exactly how to run this race, how to live life, that there's a narrow path that we run, and we don't have to run it alone. You will help us. You have your people here that will help us. And we need to be those people that help each other. And Father, we thank you for that. If there's anyone here struggling in the race, can you come up front? We'll laugh at you. We'll pray for you. And we'll pray for you. If you don't, grab somebody. Grab one of the elders. Grab Bill. Talk to John. If you've never been baptized into Christ, that's a great start on the race. Give yourself to Christ. Become one with Christ. It says we need to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. We die to our old self and come back up a new person in Christ. If you've not done that, this is a great time to do it. They got this whole new baptismal right here. I don't know if it's working, but there's plenty of places to baptize people. And it's the most beautiful thing. It's a great experience. And we do it because God tells us to. If we feel good, that's a good thing too. Anyway, I close with that, and I'll see you in 3 months.